I had never been in a box like this before. Where was it taking us? A boy in a blue shirt squeezed his way past me and pressed the number 5 button. It lit up, and the box closed on us. I looked about me and saw that everyone was calm, so I knew that there was no need to worry. The box began to move up, fast. The other boys remained calm, adjusting their ties and shirts. When the doors opened, I was the last to step out into a large open room with brown leather couches. There was a man sitting at the desk at the far wall, and he motioned for me to find a place to sit. The other boys had already seated themselves. I sat away from them and looked about the room. Through the window, I could see the tops of the other buildings, and I decided to get up and look around to see how high up from the ground we were. As I was making my way to the window, my name was called. A really light-skinned man, I couldn't tell if he was Sierra Leonean or not, sat in a big black leather chair. "Please have a seat, and I'll be with you in a moment," he said in English. And he shuffled through some papers, picked up a phone, and dialed a number. When the person picked up on the other end, the man just said, "It is a go-ahead," and hung up. He turned toward me and eyed me for a bit before he began to question me, speaking very slowly in English. "What is your name?" he asked, looking at the list of names on his desk. "Ishmael," I said, and he checked my name before I could tell him my last name. "Why do you think you should go to the UN to present the situation affecting children in this country?" He raised his head from the list and looked at me. "Well, I am from the part of the country where I have not only suffered because of the war, but I have also participated in it and undergone rehabilitation. So I have a better understanding, based on my experience, of the situation than any of these city boys who are here for the interview. What are they going to say when they go over there? They don't know anything about the war except the news of it." I looked at the man, who was smiling, and it made me a bit angry. "What else do you have to say?" he asked. "Nothing, except that I am wondering why you are smiling." I sat back in the soft leather chair. "You can go now," the man said, still smiling. I got up and left the room, leaving the door open behind me. I walked toward the box and stood by it. I stood there and waited for several minutes, but nothing happened. I didn't know what to do to make the box come upstairs. The boys who were waiting for the interview began to laugh. The man who sat behind the desk walked toward me and pushed a button on the wall. The doors immediately opened, and I walked in. The man pressed the number 1 button and waved to me as the doors closed. I tried to find something to hold onto, but the box was already at street level. I walked out of the building and stood outside, examining its structure. "I have to tell Muhammad about the inside of this marvelous building when I see him," I thought. I walked home slowly that afternoon, watching the cars go by. I didn't think much about the interview, except that I still wondered why the man who had interviewed me had smiled. I meant what I said, and it was not a funny matter. At some point, during my walk, a convoy of cars, military vans, and Mercedes-Benzes festooned with national flags passed by. Their windows were tinted, so I couldn't see who rode in them, and they were too fast anyway. When I got home, I asked Ali if he knew of a powerful man who parades the city in such a way. He told me that it was Tijan Kaba, the new president, who had won the election under the banner of the Sierra Leone People's Party, SLPP, in March 1996, 8 months earlier. I had never heard of this man. That night, my uncle brought home a bag of groundnut. Auntie Sally boiled the groundnut and put it out on a large tray. All of us, my uncle, his wife, Ali, Kona, Matilda, Sumbo, and I, sat around the tray and ate the groundnut, listening to another recording of Lele Gbomba's. He was telling a story about how he became friends with another boy before they were born. Their mothers were neighbors and were pregnant at the same time, so the two of them met while they were still in their mothers' bellies. The storyteller vividly described the landscape of their pre-infant life, the hunting they did, the games they played, how they listened to our world. It was a very funny story that took shockingly impossible twists and turns and left us in awe. My uncle, aunt, and cousins laughed so hard that they couldn't stop for hours, even after the story had ended. I began to laugh too, because my uncle was trying to say something and he was so possessed with laughter that he couldn't say a complete word without launching into another fit of laughter. We should do this again. Laughing like this is good for the soul, my uncle said, still laughing a little. We wished one another a good night and went to our different sleeping places.